You're listening to episode 38, brought to you by PrepDish. For your free 2-week trial, just go to prepdish.com/lovely. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast for real moms who are seeking Jesus, trying to live their roles well, and trying to add a little bit more loveliness into their life, even in just the little moments. I'm your host, Mackenzie Monroe from boldturquoise.com and cultivatingthelovely.com, and I am so happy to be back here with you guys in season 3. For this episode, I have a really fun guest who has a brand new book out that I can't wait to share with you guys. It's Erin Odom from The Humbled Homemaker, and on this episode, we talk all about her amazing book, More Than Just Making It. You guys, I read this book over the summer, and I was so able to connect with what Erin had to say about finances and difficulties, but also about the way that they rose through it and dealt with the situation and sought God in the process. And I love this book because she really opens your eyes to what people in the lower income part of our society are really going through and what that really looks like. And I so appreciate her perspective and the way that she completely ties things back to Jesus constantly. I think that you guys are really going to enjoy this book, and I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Also, before we jump too far into the podcast, I wanted to mention that we have a big giveaway happening right now for the launch of the podcast. I have things like a happy planner and washi tape and a brand new message canvas Bible and all kinds of fun things that you guys are going to want to get in on. And all you have to do is leave a rating and review here in iTunes and then hop over to Instagram and say that you did so, and you will be entered for this super fun giveaway. So make sure you get over there. It is going to last through the end of September, so you don't want to miss out. Make sure you get in those entries so that you can be in the running for it. All right, you guys, let's jump right in with this interview with Erin. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me, Mackenzie. It's great to be on your show.
Well, I am so excited to have you. We have some mutual friends, and we've kind of crossed paths a few times. We did a little bit of Periscope stuff together a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But we've never just really gotten to sit down and hang out. So I'm so excited to just be able to chit-chat for a while.
Me too.
And two ENFPs, which I hope to talk about later in the show, but we definitely have that in common, so it should be a fun episode.
Yes, for sure.
So, for people who don't know who you are, would you introduce yourself and what you do online and all that kind of stuff?
Sure. Hi, my name is Erin, and I live in the Charlotte area of North Carolina. My husband, Will, and I have been married for 12 years. We have 4 kids. We have 3 little girls. They are 9, almost 7, 5, and then we have a little baby boy. He's actually 7 months now. I can't believe he's already 7 months.
That's
by the time
crazy.
This airs. He's 6 months while we're talking today, Mackenzie. But I blog at thehumbledhomemaker.com. I've been blogging there since 2011. I write about homemaking, healthy living, family finance, and motherhood. And I just came out with a new book called More Than Just Making It, Hope for the Heart of the Financially Frustrated.
And it's so good. And I'm so excited to talk about it today. But before we just like dive into the content of this book, which really just hit home for me, I want to just hear kind of the backstory on how did this book deal happen? Like, where did this come from? Did you pursue it? Did they pursue you? Like, this is kind of, I've talked about it before on the show. It's kind of every blogger's dream to get the book deal. But what's your story? How did it happen?
Well, Mackenzie, I can say that it is a complete God thing. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, it was one of those things where I have always loved to write from the time I was a little girl. I mean, I remember writing my first story in the first grade and it just being a passion of mine. But I would have never voiced, oh, it's my dream to write a book. Even though I think, you know, from the time I was a little girl, I always thought it would be cool to write a book. But it was one of those things where I didn't have enough self-confidence, and I was really too afraid to dream that big. Like in my head, like that was just kind of like the unattainable dream. Of course, this is, you know, before the world of blogging even too. And, you know, back then, none of us knew what the online world was going to do.
Yeah.
So I started my blog in 2011, and I wrote a post in 2012 about how I was a stay-at-home mom who could barely afford it. Like, we were really struggling. And that post back then went viral.
Wow.
Not until 2 years later, when it was still getting traffic, and it still gets traffic today, my agent, the man who is now my agent, Bill Jensen, he sent me an email in January 2014, and he said, "I found your blog. I've been reading it. Are you interested in literary representation? Have you ever thought about writing a book?" And I remember getting it. It's funny because my VA, my virtual assistant, she was getting some of my emails back then, so she forwarded it to me, and she knew I'm like really bad with email, and I will just like let things sit there for like years and not write back, and
Oh my
I'll like,
goodness, I'm the
oh.
same way.
I read it and I'm like, oh my goodness, this email made my day. It made me feel so good. And then, like, I forget to respond forever and ever. So she wrote me and she was like, "I really think you need to read this and I really think you need to respond." So I was like, okay, let me look at this. So I read it and he kind of like threw out some names and some authors that I would know of. And I was like, is this for real? So I decided to kind of research him. I went to his website and this was really funny. And I mean, like, Mackenzie, God's hand is woven throughout all of this. So I was looking at the different authors he represented it, and some of them were like those big name authors that I had heard of. And then I looked, and there was my pastor.
Oh,
I
wow.
was like, "Well, this is weird."
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Does he know he's my pastor?" You know? And then I also saw somebody else who was like one of the worship leaders in my church. Her name is Gwen Smith. She's also an author. So I thought, okay, well, this is really interesting. Does he? Because I wasn't like particularly close to my pastor at the time, and we go to their church there for a couple years, but it was a big church, so he knew me. But I was like, okay, like, what's this connection? You know? So, long story short, I ended up also like checking him out through that worship leader at our church and through some other people, enough to where I felt like, okay, this is a legit literary agent. And I emailed him back. We ended up having a phone meeting, and he did not even know that I lived in North Carolina, much less that I went to my pastor's church.
Wow.
Like, he had no idea there was any kind of connection. And my About Me page was so bad back then. It's actually still really bad now. It's like in process of being like reconstructed. But anyway, so he didn't know all this about me. And so we both really felt like that was, you know, God's hand and things. And but I told him at the time, Mackenzie, I had a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old. So those little girls I just told you that are 9, 7, and 5, that they were a lot younger. And I told him, you know, I have little kids. I'm running this blog, which had by 2014 become our primary income source, even though my husband was still teaching. And I was also running Ultimate Bundles. So, and I am doing a lot, and I don't think I could have one more thing on my plate, but I love this idea, and I think I would just love to write a book. So I said, you know, I'll pray about it. He said, pray about it. So I prayed about it, and the one thing I felt like God was saying was, walk in this. And it wasn't like it was an audible voice, but it was just like I had, through a lot of scripture and prayer, just a piece of my heart that God was saying, walk in this. And another confirmation was that my agent, Bill, he said, Erin, there's no rush. We don't even know what this book is that God wants you to write yet. We'll figure that out together. But there's no rush. God will have your book come out when God wants it to come out.
That's
It will come
amazing.
out in his perfect timing. So I knew that, you know, that's not typical for literary agents.
No.
They don't get paid until you get paid, and you don't get paid until you get a book deal. And so, in fact, it's funny, the day we're talking, like, the way my publisher does it, you get paid in thirds. So I got one third when I signed my book deal. I got one third when I turned in my manuscript, and I actually opened the mailbox and got my final third check today. And so Bill should be getting his final third today. And he did not push me. So that was God's hand in all of it. So he and I started throwing around book ideas. And in 2015, decided that I really needed to walk away from doing bundles because I really felt like God was leading me to write. And there was no way I could just balance it all. Also, by that time, we're talking about the end of 2015, my 1-year-old was going on 3. And so my life season was starting. I was coming out of that baby fog, you know. My kids were getting older, and so it felt like the perfect timing. And so I finished my book proposal in October 2015. So if you look at that timetable, from the time Bill emailed me January 2014 until I finished a book proposal, that was almost 2 years. And so I think a lot of times people look online, they look at authors and or bloggers that become authors, and they're like, oh, wow. But they don't see like all these years that it's taken for things to to fruition, you know? And a lot of people do it way faster than that. But like I said, I had a lot on my plate and I had little kids, you know? So what's funny is that, so I ended up October, I finished my proposal, started getting offers. By November or December, I decided to go with Ondervan, which I've had a really good experience with. And the next year, okay, so I signed with them. And then last summer is when I was actually writing the book. That was in the summer of 2016. Wow. It's a very long process. So I was writing the book last summer. And after I had signed with them, I think I actually signed the book deal in the spring of 2016. In April, the end of April 2016, my kids are older. Everything's going great. I'm sleeping through the night.
Yeah.
I got pregnant with baby number four.
That's so crazy.
Which was awesome and like a dream come true, because that's a whole other story. We had to have other podcasts or something.
Yeah,
we
totally
didn't have another one. So it was one of those things where God has just taught me, like, I have got to rely on Him, like His grace and for energy and for strength and everything, because it hasn't been easy, you know, writing the book when I was in my first trimester pregnancy and then going edits and everything through my whole pregnancy. And then I think I told you earlier before on air, my big edit was due the week he was born. So, you know,
crazy.
God and my publisher have given me a lot of grace and all that. But it's one of those things where when you do have little kids at home, mamas who are listening, who may have the dream of writing a book, number one, you don't have to do it immediately. Like I told Bill, like I knew in my spirit that it was not the time in 2014.
Yeah.
And it took things so slowly. By the time my book comes out September 5th, 2017. I mean, that's almost 4 years from the first contact to me. So yeah, that's kind of how it came to be. And I totally see where it was God's hand in all of it.
Absolutely. I just think I've heard a little bit, you know, through the grapevine, you hear things about how you got this amazing book deal. But I just so admire, like, the wisdom and the pace that you took this whole book process with, because I think it's so easy, especially as we're seeing, like, other bloggers or other moms, even if it's not a book deal, just like doing big, amazing things. And we tend to want to be doing those things and doing those things as quickly as we think they're doing them, kind of like you said. And there can just be so much envy in that. But actually how you did it and you paced yourself and you put your children first, and that, I mean, you had obviously amazing people in your corner telling you that's okay, like, this is going to be in God's timing. I think that's so important to kind of have those voices around you so you're not all in your own head, you know, like, I just want to be doing more, because it is hard. Like, I feel like I'm totally in one of those seasons right now where it's just like, yeah, I'm kind of coming out of like having little babies. I mean, I could end up having another one. I don't know. But right now it's like, okay, I've got a 2.5-year-old. I've got older ones, but I'm having to press in so much more with like our homeschooling and all that kind of thing. And I feel God saying that, like, okay, like, you have to pace yourself. And it's so hard. You don't want to. It's like, I'm an ENFP, God. You made me this way. Like, I have all these amazing ideas. But to just be like, no, like, I have to say no to things. And I have to pace myself. Like, I still have many years that those things can happen if that's what he wants for me. It's better off to be putting my family first. And that can be just so hard.
Absolutely. And Mackenzie, like, even the envy and just like looking and comparing, like, what other people are doing, like, it happens, like, even when you have like a book deal. So, you know, as I've been writing this, I haven't been able to, you know, keep the blog up and do what all of these other bloggers are doing, you know? And so it's so easy for me to look at them and be like, wow, you know, I should have this on my blog, or I should have this, or my blog should be at a much, you know, higher point by this point in time.
Yeah.
And then I have to take a step back and say, but no, I wrote a book this year. I actually wrote two books, but I wrote a gift book too. I wrote a couple books and I had a baby and I have three their kids. Like, oh my goodness, like, Lord, it's only through you I've been able to survive this whole time. What more could I ask for? What more could I want? You know?
Yeah.
And also never knowing the other side of the story. You know, like whenever I was doing bundles, I felt like I was going crazy.
Yeah.
So much on my plate. And the Lord provided for our family that way. But I actually have felt less crazy, like writing the books, but it's still a lot of hard work. And so you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And like you said, like you know, we can write or we can create products and, you know, we can podcast or whatever. You and I were talking about how I want to start a podcast. I think it's awesome what you said. But we, you know, we can do all those things, but we may not be able to do them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And especially when we have kids at home. Like, I think we will never regret saying no to things during these little years. And these little years, I mean 0 to 18, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like from what I've heard, you know, the teenage years, they're going to need us even more.
Yeah.
We won't regret saying no to those things, but we will regret saying yes to everything all at the same time when they're little kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss out on that. So,
yeah, I totally agree. And I think that, I don't know, I think probably in the last year, it's been almost harder for me because it's like, okay, I've been doing this mothering thing for like a long time now. I have an 11-year-old. Like, when do I get to do something for myself? But just you have to keep remembering that, like, okay, God will make a way. And if it's something he wants me to do in their little, then he's going to somehow make it beneficial to my family and have my husband be able to, like, be involved with my kids. And, you know, like, it's not going to take away from my family. And as soon as it starts doing that, it's getting in the way of what my first calling is. And that can be really hard to grapple with. But like you're saying, I think down the road when you're not like in the midst of it and just feeling completely overwhelmed, that you won't regret it. It's like sometimes it's just telling yourself down the road, I won't regret passing up these opportunities because there'll be better ones that are more of a blessing if I press into what I'm really supposed to be pressing into right now. Or even if there are those opportunities, like you were able to take advantage of, but letting them take a long time to develop.
Right. Yeah. It took a really long time.
Yeah.
And I know that my story is not isolated. I know that there's other authors that it's taken them that long. But you don't know that. Like, people don't know that when their book comes out. They just think, oh my goodness, she's a mom like me with young kids. And, you know, she just wrote a book. I want to write a book. Well, maybe you can, but it may take you a few years, you know, just like it did us. So
I want to jump ahead on that note to a question I was actually going to talk about much later in the podcast. I mean, you cover a huge gamut of things in the book and tons of practical solutions, but you talk about taking your personality into account when you're looking for opportunities to provide for your family. And I think just like you're talking about, like, with the taking time to do your book, like, some people have more bandwidth. Some people have, like, the ability to focus and, like, whatever, to be able to do stuff maybe faster than an ENFP who's got a lot of ideas and a lot of different things is able to. Knowing who you are and both your strengths and your weaknesses is so important.
It is so important, Mackenzie. You are right on that. Like, we were just talking about how we're both ENFP, so we love to talk to people. So for you, a podcast is like a natural overflow of your personality. And, you know, for me, like, even with book promotion, you know, and trying to get the message into as many readers' hands as possible. Some authors are like, I don't want to be on a podcast. I don't want to talk. I just want to write. Well, because I'm an ENFP, I'm like, I love being on podcasts. I love making new friends. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, verbally, I like to do that. And so I think it's so important. You know, when I was trying to figure out how to create more income for our family, and that's what I talk about in my book, I tried different things. And one of the things was like being a virtual assistant. That was really bad for me. I am not naturally organized. And thankfully, the girl I was a VA for, we're still really good friends. Like, she didn't even let me go. She should have fired me because I was not good at it. And I finally was just like, I finally said, I think I need a different job. But, you know, it's so important to see what your personality is. And it's true. Like, some people look at me and they're like, I don't see how in the world you wrote a book. And I'm like, you know what? There is not a whole lot in this world that I feel like I can do But that's one thing I feel like I can do. Like whatever you're doing, like if you are sitting at your sewing machine making clothes for your kids all day and then like selling them in your Etsy shop, I cannot do that. Like I just can't. I'm not gifted that way.
Yeah.
But maybe you are. And so I'm really passionate about people figuring out their personality and their gifts and their skill set and figuring out how they can use those things to bring glory to God and to create more income for their families.
I think just what you're hitting on, I mean, I as well, like reading your book, I kind of had to laugh, like all the different things that you tried. And I have like this huge list of things that I've tried over the years. I've tried making things and selling things. And I've tried, you know, all the direct sales stuff, like too many to count. My husband's like, you are cut off from attempting direct sales businesses. Like you are not allowed to do this anymore. You are not a salesman. I don't care how much you like the products. You're not a salesman. And it's just so funny to see like how that all progresses. But then for me, like you're saying, like how the podcast happened, it was like, oh, this is just a natural bent for me. And then that led me to think about like, oh, I should get back into voiceover work again, which I had started doing. I mean, I was a child actor. So, I mean, I feel like how you're saying God totally prepared you from writing from the time you were little. Mm-hmm. Like God prepared me over all those years in acting. And I kind of, when I became a mom, was like, well, what was all that for? Like I put so much time and effort into it, but you never know how those ways that God prepared you when you were younger are going to crop back up in your life. And now just because technology has changed and, you know, all these things, it's this amazing opportunity for me to be able to help provide for my family from home with my computer and my microphone and all of this experience and training that God gave me when I was younger. And so I think like you're saying, like finding those things that you're like, I am good at this. God has made me good at this. And maybe it is that you just have one of those personalities who can, you know, sell ice to a penguin, you know, that can be it. You know, you have to find what it is for you.
Yes, exactly. And I know you have like so many mamas that listen to your show. And that's what I hope, that if they don't get anything else out of it, that they realize like when they're looking at other people online, when they're looking at moms like me and you that are just like them, realizing that God has gifted them differently, and or, you know, maybe they have similar gifts, but what are those things that really they are passionate about, and how can they use those things for their kingdom and for their families?
Absolutely. And I think it's really easy to see the people who have some kind of platform or something and be like, oh, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to aspire to be, because that's what you see. But there are so many things that can be super beneficial to your family, like being a VA or, you know, doing those kinds of things that are more those background jobs you don't necessarily see. They aren't in front of your face as much, but they can be just as beneficial to your family if that's where God has gifted you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm super passionate about the whole personality thing, like doing what God has made you to do, not trying to do what other people are talking about or whatever. And I think you just did such a good job of talking about that, along with many other things in your book. Hey, ladies, we're going to take a really quick break right now so that I can mention our awesome sponsor for the podcast. We had them on last season, and I'm so excited to be welcoming them back this fall because I really believe in what their product is, and that is PrepDish. You guys, if you haven't tried PrepDish and you're maybe pulling out your hair a little bit with the beginning of the school year and all the activities back in full swing, and it's just really hard to get dinner on the table, then PrepDish is the place to go to get help. Every week, they will send you gluten-free or paleo menus that are full of family-friendly recipes. And these are not just any recipes, because they have this plan all worked out for you that just one day a week, you can spend a couple of hours prepping all of your ingredients, and then you only have to take 5 to 20 minutes to get your meals ready each night. Now, I don't know about you, but I rarely have more time than that on a weeknight to be preparing my family dinner, but I still want us to be able to have that around-the-table, home-cooked feeling that sometimes is really hard to muster during this time of year. So be sure to head over to prepdish.com/lovely to get your 2-week free trial to be able to test it out before you ever pay for anything. I think you're really going to appreciate the service and you're going to really be glad that you tried it out. So prepdish.com/lovely. They will give you all the details there on how you can get your free 2 weeks. Now back to the interview with Erin. So let's jump back to the book now that I've gone off on this tangent. Okay, there were just so many things. I mean, right from the get-go, when you were just, I mean, right in the first chapter, I was like, oh my goodness, I get her. Because you talk about how you guys had fallen on hard times and how difficult that was and how humbling that was. And the whole thing about like having to go in to apply for the food stamps and that kind of stuff, like just how humbling that is. I've had that experience. And like you, I was the valedictorian and the graduating early from high school. And that, you know, like I was educated, I was smart. And to have to do that was, just reading that chapter, it was all kinds of like memories flooding my brain. But I loved throughout this book how you kind of just boldly head on address those stereotypes that we all kind of have about what low income looks like, and then the experience of being in it, to try to create that compassion for people going through that.
Well, the whole time that our family was living on a low income and we were on government aid, like you said, I kept praying, help me not to forget. Well, first of all, there were years where I thought, we're never going to get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And authenticity is like a really huge core value in my life. Mm-hmm. I think it might be an ENFP thing, you know.
Yeah,
like we're just,
I agree.
Very authentic people, you know.
Yeah.
And so I felt, because I usually, like, I don't have a lot to hide, I guess. Like, I felt like I was being inauthentic to people mm-hmm. around me, because I had this huge secret that nobody knew. Nobody knew that we were living on government aid. Nobody knew how bad we were struggling, except for my parents. No one knew. And slowly, I started telling just a few people, and until I decided to tell it on my blog that one day. And then more people found out. But I prayed, once we started to see, like, okay, maybe we can make it out of this, I prayed, God, please help me to not forget. Please help me to do everything I can to shatter the shame and the stigma of the poor. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, use me for that. Because I had grown up with these preconceived ideas mm-hmm. about poor people being lazy and, you know, just using tax dollars. And I want to honor my parents. It was not my parents who instilled that in me. I really feel like it was more of a culture at large that mm-hmm. instilled that. And it's one of those things that we all walk around with, these stereotypes of other people, and we don't even realize we have them until mm-hmm. we look at face to face, and until maybe we're walking in those shoes of those people that we didn't want to be. And so God really used that time in my life to humble me, to expose those areas of pride in my life. You know, the book starts out with, I'm walking into the food stamps office. And like you said, I had all these things going through my head. Like, I was the valedictorian and I was mm-hmm. a straight A student. Like, what, you know, I'm above this. And I was obviously not voicing this to my caseworker, but I was thinking all of that in my head. Mm-hmm. And even when I was reading my book, like reading the rough draft to my husband, or actually the final draft, I said, okay, honey, this is it. Like, I'm putting our story out there. And he was 100% on board with that. And I said, I really want to read the whole thing to you out loud, because like, this is going to make our family really vulnerable.
Yeah.
And when I was reading him certain parts, he said, you're making yourself out to be like really mean. Like, you weren't like that. And I said, honey, these things were like really going through my head.
Yeah.
And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, they were, but I don't think I'm alone. And mm-mm. that's one thing you and I were talking about, that I felt so alone. I felt alone in this whole process, this whole journey. And I realize now that by sharing our stories, we realize we're not alone. Mm-hmm. And we build empathy, you know, with people who, there are other people that have our same story or a very similar story, like mm-hmm. you and I do. And then there's other people who don't.
Yeah.
But by reading our stories, by sharing our stories, maybe they too can begin to have some empathy for people who aren't like them.
Yeah.
But if we hold our stories inside, then that empathy won't be created.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think that happens across so many things. I mean, financial things or whatever things we have in our past that maybe we're ashamed of or are difficult, those are usually the things that are the most impactful to other people. I feel like, because like you, it's like I value that authenticity, that transparency, and I feel like that's where God a lot of times can kind of do his dirty work and help other people see that they aren't going to be stuck in their situation forever. If they've made, you know, the same choices or have gone through the same things, that they can see people who've come out on the other side and give them some hope, you know. And it's so hard to go through those things and you don't want to go through them. And then it's really hard to expose them. But I just think that we are depriving God the ability to work through our testimony if we aren't open with it, which you have boldly been, which is so good.
Well, I definitely, like I said, like I see God, he led me through this whole process. And I know when the book comes out, I'm probably going to get some pushback from people. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are not going to like what I said, but I'm just praying for God to use it and for him to put the book in the hands of people who need to be encouraged, who mm-hmm. need to find hope, but also who God needs to maybe soften their hearts the same way that he softened mine.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as like that whole feeling of shame goes, like being in it, I'm just curious, were you ever able to overcome that feeling of, you know, wanting to hide your WIC checks when you were at the store and those kinds of things, like when you were actually in it? Or was it afterward mm-hmm. that you were able to work through it more?
Mm. You know, I think I worked through it. It was a process. Mm-hmm. It was a gradual process. You know, at first, not wanting anyone to know, mm-hmm. and only my parents knew, you know, not even my husband's parents knew. I don't know that my husband's parents, I guess they're about to find out. I think they know, they kind of know what I was writing the book about a little bit. But, you know, it got, and then it was like gradually, I, you know, started talking to other people in like the WIC office. And if I would see another mom in the grocery store with her WIC checks, this sounds funny, but I would kind of like pull mine out so she could see you. So,
I think that's great.
I didn't want her to feel alone. And then like together, I'm like, oh, I see her with her WIC checks. Like, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, slowly, like I had other friends that were also struggling financially. And so I slowly started telling some of those friends because I wanted them to know about the services available to them.
Yeah.
And then I think it's one of those things, God softened me to it, but I was still, I didn't really put it all out there. I guess I did put it all out there on the blog while we still had, we were still struggling,
mm-hmm.
but it was gradual. It was one of those things where God continued to soften me and he, you know, continued to work on my heart until I was able to share. Because I knew when I shared, I was going to get some negative feedback mm-hmm. from people who just didn't understand, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to understand sometimes unless you've been there.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, it's one of the most ultimately humbling things, I think, that you can go through, like, in our American culture. I mean, I remember having to go in there. I think a lot of times, too, side note, is I think a lot of times it's the wives that are doing a lot of it. This may not be the case across the board, but, you know, with your story, with mine, I was the one having to go in there and fill out the applications and do the interview. And because my husband was working. And when I sat down for the interview and they asked me if I could read, it just like broke me. It was like, do I look like I can't? Like, And then I remember sitting in the WIC office and having them see I had my first son. You can still look at my kids today. My first son is average to small for his age. He's just like, he's a string bean. He's got long legs, but he's super skinny. And then I have a son that's 3 years younger than him, but people constantly ask if they're twins because he's so big for his age. And I actually had the lady at the WIC office ask me if I was feeding the older one. Like, oh, I was only feeding the younger child or something. And it was like, are you kidding me? Like, but I have to, I'm so quick to just go to those bad experiences, you know, like letting those be the things that stick out in my mind. And reading your book really made me kind of have to sit down and think, you know what? Yeah, those things really sucked. That was awful to go through. But much more often, I encountered people in those offices who were so much more kind and gracious than that. Mm-hmm. That was not the norm. Most people really just legitimately wanted to help us, wanted to be there for us, and weren't trying to make me feel less than. They were really trying to just help us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally relate to that feeling. Like there were, you know, there were times where I remember, you know, the WIC food, it's not all of it is like completely nutritious. Mm-hmm. And I'm into healthy living. And so
yeah, me too.
I remember, you know, they would try to educate me on like, you know, the milk or whatever.
Yes.
And so I would like try to come back with what I knew. To
yes,
healthy,
yes, yes.
Know?
Oh my gosh.
But you know, there, God, like, oh my goodness, there's so many stories. And there's even stories that didn't make it into the book of times when I internally was just having this proud, like this pride fest inside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it be with the cashier at the grocery store or the WIC office worker or the social worker or whoever. And I was thinking inside, you know, they're judging me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of putting things in their head that probably wasn't even there. And, you know, one time this is a story that didn't make it into my book, and I wish it had, but there just wasn't space. You know, I was in the grocery checkout line, and I was embarrassed to be using the WIC, and it was actually a teenage boy. And he started talking to me about how it was Thanksgiving, how he was getting ready to go see his family. And I was like, well, that's awesome. And he's like, yeah, I haven't seen them since like for 10 years.
Wow.
He was a foster kid. And so here I am, you know, thinking, oh, he's probably judging me because I'm using these, you know, WIC checks. And he had grown up in like the children's home the next town over. And that's probably what he was eating on. And it was just like, I mean, the Holy Spirit just like seared my heart in that moment. And just, you know, one, it was like I was having all these pity parties for myself and for God just revealing to me, like, you know, get off your pity party and get off your high horse. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are other people who are struggling, and there's other people that are struggling way more than you are. And, you know, don't judge and just love these people where they are. And just by walking through what I did, like God was able to reveal so much to me.
Yeah. I think that's just so powerful. And just by you using those WIC checks, you know, he probably felt more comfortable to be able to open up to you and like tell you that he was a foster kid. Even, you know, that probably wasn't something that he even threw around. But sometimes, like we've been talking about, like that vulnerability and that openness and showing where we're actually at allows us to connect with people so much more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool to see. I mean, there were just so many stories throughout your book of just seeing God at work. And you even talk about that in your book, actually being conscious of how he's providing for you, because so much of the time, I think we just take that for granted. And to actually see, I mean, when you're really desperate is when you really see it, because there's any little thing is like, oh, he's providing for us. You know, we didn't have that yesterday. We have it today. But I think it's so important to remember, like you're talking about in the book, like adjusting our whole idea of the American dream and what that's even going to look like. Like we need to be conscious of being content and acknowledging him for his provision.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is definitely something he taught me during that whole time, and something that today, like, I continue to say, God, help me not to forget, and just to thank him for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, thank him for the roof over my head,
yeah.
You know, thank him for the food that is on our table. Thank him for, you know, my older two girls go to a part-time Christian school. Like, we homeschool 2 days a week and they go to school 3 days a week. And it was my dream from the time my 9-year-old was 2 to be able to send them to this school. And we, you know, I kind of thought in my head, maybe we can get scholarships and we can just, you know how to eat rice and beans. And I thought back then, well, we're going to still have, you know, government aid by that point, because there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But God, if there's any way to send them to the school, and it's a year by year thing, you know, it's not cheap. But this week, like Thursday, they're going to start out their fourth year at that school.
Wow.
And every year I start crying on the way to school that first day, because that was a dream that God placed in my heart when she was 2 years old, you know, 7 years ago, when we barely had money to eat, and to see him bring that dream to fruition and not take that for granted.
Yeah, it's just so amazing to see how he does that and how he provides for us in so much bigger ways than we ever, I don't know, really expect for him to, but it's so, so amazing when he does. I love that. So this is a little bit different question. So when you think back to that time when you were just deep in it, and maybe you weren't even able to, I don't know, but what advice would you give for moms going through that right now to still be able to take care of themselves, like emotionally and spiritually, and like what encouragement would you have for them now?
Well, one thing I would tell them is that you're not alone. You may feel like you're alone, and you may feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, but you're not alone. That there are other people struggling, and that besides that, that God is always with you. It sounds cliche, but I can remember standing in my kitchen and just saying, oh, this is really hard. Like, I don't know what to make for dinner, because like we have eggs from WIC and that's it.
Yeah.
And God's saying, well, you have eggs from WIC.
Yeah.
You can have breakfast for dinner. And just saying, you know, and I remember saying, okay, God, this is when we learn how to trust you, because it was so easy to trust you, you know, say we trusted you when we had everything, you know? And so just to reach out and cry out to Jesus and say, help me, and let him build your trust during that time. I would also say, don't be afraid to seek help.
Yeah.
So if you're struggling financially, if you're struggling emotionally, whatever whatever way you're struggling, don't be afraid to seek that help. So for us, you know, it was the physical help through government aid. And that might make some of your listeners cringe right now. I encourage them to read my book, and then they'll be able to read all of it and figure out, you know, I don't condone it for life. Now, I do think there are some people that do need to be on it for life, like disabled people and whatnot. But I think that it was set up for a temporary solution to help people get on their feet, and don't be afraid to reach out to it. It could be, though, that you need to reach out to your pastor for counseling.
Yeah.
You know, my husband and I, we had marriage counseling. And in the book, I talk a little bit about our marriage struggles. And we also met with a financial counselor from our church. That's really important if you're struggling financially. And that financial counselor was able to help us turn the tide of our financial situation. So I would say seek the Lord and seek help and figure out. A practical thing is just figure out the source of your frustration if it's financial. And so in my book, I talk about people having an income problem and a spending problem.
Yeah.
And so for our family, we had an income problem.
Yeah.
And when we finally figured that out, it was like, okay, we can do something about it. But until you figure out the source of whatever your frustration is, it's really hard to make any headway on it.
Yeah.
You have to kind of get to the root cause.
I think that's all really good advice. I think that's a good note to kind of wrap things up on. So now kind of jumping to the present day, this is something new we're adding to this season. I was wondering if you could share one way that you are creating loveliness in your own life right now.
Okay. So I would say, this might sound silly, but I am just creating loveliness by savoring my baby cuddles from my little son. He is 6 months old as we are speaking. He's 7 months old when this is going to go live to your listeners. And he is that child that I desired in my heart, that I prayed for, that I thought we couldn't have. And he's our only son. And I think he's our last one. And this year, you know, I was praying through what my word should be for this year. And in the midst of everything, in the midst of launching two books and my husband and I working together from home, which is a new thing,
yeah,
and having four kids, like the word that God I put in my head was savor. And so I'm really trying to savor, especially my little son, but all of my kids. So, you know, you will find me some days, Mackenzie, where I'm just nursing him, like laying in my bed in the middle of the day, nursing him.
That's awesome.
And just taking that time to do that and just cultivating the lovely through those little baby cuddles.
Yes.
That with him being my fourth kid, I know is such a fleeting thing that will not be there forever.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And since this is like a new little feature, I'm going to share what my lovely thing is that I'm doing like right now, what I'm steeped in. And by the time this goes live, it will hopefully be well past me. But I am like thick in the midst of prepping for our school year to start. And it may sound crazy, but this is, it's like giving myself a future gift of loveliness by getting all the prep work, like figuring out our meals and getting everything printed and just like getting everything set up so I don't have all those decisions and all that work to do when we're actually in the school year, because I know it's going to hit us hard and fierce here really soon. But I know that by putting in that effort right now, it's like I'll be able to do more of like what you're saying you're doing, like just enjoying my kids. My word actually last year was savor.
Oh my goodness.
And so I feel like it's kind of coming back to a little bit of that. My year this year was like being diligent with everything I'm trying to get done. And this is like, okay, I got to put in the diligence now so that then I can savor that time with them and not be so concerned with, oh, I didn't get these pages printed out and I don't know what we're eating for dinner and, you know, like all that kind of stuff. I feel like that's my lovely work right now that's going to pay off in dividends.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That sounds really good. I'm impressed because I know ENFPs, it's hard for us to do stuff like that.
It is. It's actually easier for me to do like all the prep work than all the like stick to it work afterward.
Yes.
Like, okay, I've got everything printed. Now we actually have to homeschool you people and stick with it. Okay, so these are, I call them the stock questions that I ask all of my new guests on the show. So are you ready for them?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Okay. So candles or essential oil diffuser?
Essential oil diffuser.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Well, honestly, right now it's paper. But I like cloth.
You're human.
I'm human.
You got four kids and you're launching a book. If you said cloth, I was going to be beyond impressed. Okay, city or country?
Country.
Paper or digital?
Digital.
Okay. Shopping online or in the store?
Online.
Which you pretty much, if anybody reads the book, they would know the answer to that question, I think. So it's 4 o'clock or whatever time you make dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
A podcast.
And what are some of your favorites?
I like The Brilliant Business Moms.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jeff Goins' The Portfolio Life, which I don't know if your listeners would really like that one or not. Yeah, I like Sorta Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
so,
a good one.
But I'll be honest, like I have not listened to as many as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times now, because I've been working on the book stuff, by the time it's time for dinner, because a lot of times I've been working on the book stuff and the girls have just been downstairs doing their own thing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mind like all the noise of the girls and
yeah.
stuff. But if I have to choose, I do like podcast.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Okay. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Dark.
Sports or no sports?
No sports.
Okay. We are so alike in so many ways. Okay. Live broadcasting. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
I like to broadcast, except that I never have makeup on, so I don't do it very often.
For some reason, I will not go out in public without makeup on, but I, for some reason, can flip that button on my phone without being super aware of what I look like, which is frightening a lot of the
time. I'm the opposite. I'll go to the store without makeup on. I need to totally like do what you do because it's like totally holding me back from broadcasting.
And I haven't even done it that much in a while, but for some reason, as long as I'm wearing a bra, like I'm generally okay. Okay, so what is your favorite movie?
Anna Green Gables. Oh. The 1985 miniseries one. Yes.
Have you seen the new ones?
I haven't, but I've heard mixed reviews. I know. But then, recently I've heard several people say, you really got to watch it. Don't watch it with your kids, but you really got to watch it. So I'm going to one of these days, but I cannot even remember the last time I watched a movie or TV, to be honest with you.
I bet. I've heard kind of the mixed reviews, too. I've heard some people say it actually sticks closer to, like, the actual, like, trueness of the book. But I'm just not like familiar enough with any of it to make any sort of call. So, Okay. I think this is going to be a good, I feel like I've got someone who's more like on the same scale with me for this question. So I'm really excited to hear your answer. If you were to put yourself on the crunchy spectrum and 0 is totally not crunchy, but 10 is like dreadlocks, legs unshaven, singing Kumbaya by the fire, where would you place yourself?
So I think I would probably place myself between a 7 and an 8.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, because here's the thing. Like, when my husband and I are with non-crunchy people, we have, like, our non-crunchy friends and our crunchy yes. friends. Like, our non-crunchy friends think we're off the deep end.
Yes.
You know, like, I use mama cloth. Yes. Like, and I know you do too, yep. right? Like, and, I actually do use cloth diapers now, even though I'm not using cloth napkins because yeah. it's just, I use disposables when we go out. But then the people who are super, super crunchy would be like, you had hospital births? Like, you're totally not crunchy,
Yeah.
So I would say maybe 7 or 8. I don't know. I encapsulated my placenta. See, that's pretty crunchy.
Yeah. Me too. I know. And other people, like, that's one of those things that people are like, you what? Excuse me? But I'm like, that's totally normal. And it's, yes. I've talked about it with guests before. It's so funny because I have asked my husband this question, like, where do you think I'm at? He's like, you're not very crunchy. I'm like, seriously? Like, let's go through the ways. And he's like, oh, yeah. I said, you just don't know any different because you've been with me for so long. Like, exactly. You think all of this is normal, but it's not.
Oh, I totally get what you're saying. I think my husband and I both feel like things we do is normal now. Like, we're yeah. brewing our own kombucha now.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
That's our newest crunchy thing. Like, the other day I was like, wow, we are really crunchy now. Like, we have our own brew in our house, our own kombucha brew. And, that's so funny. But then, like, our kids also eat veggie chips and veggie straws. Like, yeah. the kind, not the healthy kind that you make yourself, the kind from Aldi. And yeah. so I'm like, that's not really crunchy.
Yeah.
So
I think yeah, we're a good balance. Like, before being the legs unshaven, like totally, totally crunchy, we're just like, we are crunchy in disguise. That's what I think of us as.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think that's a really good term because I don't think I would be walking down the street and someone would be like, oh my goodness, she's crunchy.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we are. Well, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Erin.
It was so much fun to hang out. I yes. want to hang out again.
I know.
Maybe one day we could actually meet in person
and
have
so
real coffee
fun.
Together.
Real coffee. That would be so much fun. And maybe I'll have to have you on the podcast again sometime and we can just like geek out about all our crunchy ways. And that would be
awesome.
Super fun too.
We could have a crunchy show. We could have an ENFP show.
We could have so many shows.
Yes. Well, okay. You have an awesome night, Mackenzie.
You too. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Isn't she fun? I just love chatting with Erin. I really hope to be able to have her on more consistently as the season goes on, especially this winter, and maybe have some fun topics about crunchy things and whatnot. So if you want to hear that, if you want Erin to be more of a regular guest on this show, then please let me know. How can you let me know? Well, a great way to do that is to join our Cultivating the Lovely group on Facebook. Hop over there for a few thousand other women who are joining in great discussions, talking about life and how we're cultivating loveliness and just our day-to-day chaos, and we would love for you to be a part of it. We share prayer requests, and we talk about things, and we occasionally even pop on Periscope, where you guys can come and join the conversation, too. You can find me there at Bold Turquoise, and of course, on Instagram at Bold Turquoise as well, where I would love to connect with you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I really, really appreciate you guys. I appreciate all of you who are leaving ratings and reviews in iTunes and helping this new season of the podcast get out to an awesome start. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next time, ladies, which will be next week with Trisha Goyer, go be bold and gracious.